So I didn't start from the very beginning. We're looking at the beginning of Perek Dalet, and we're just trying to figure out, at this point, what is the thrust of the speech? If this is a speech, and we assume it is, one of the things that people who work harder on this than I do, I think one year I actually did work hard on this, is to figure out exactly how many speeches there are in Sefer Devarim, and where each of them begin and where each of them end, and chronologically when they take place. But assuming that this is a speech, there is something which is really, I'm going to say perplexing, but it's, to me, it's complicated. And I'll put it this way, it's just not that clear why things are presented the way that they are. I'll put it like that. I think that maybe that's that way it will make the most sense. So as we begin, and again, right away, last week we already noted the speech is not following Moshe's words, are not following chronology. We're not following what we would have predicted as the order of things. If it is Mishneh Torah telling over things that happened, just again to figure out where he's beginning and where he's ending and where he's going is not all that simple. And when we start over here where I wanted to start, what we have is as follows. Which means we're starting really a new episode now, and it is Don't Forget Har Sinai. Now, that's the larger statement, although there's obviously going to be details about this, which means what exactly, as funny as this may sound, what exactly about Har Sinai is it that Moshe doesn't want us to forget? So one of the things that's going to come up very, very quickly, and it's going to become up time and time again, is going to be the issue of idolatry, the issue of Avodah Zarah. In a certain sense, I could say that, in terms of all the sins which are mentioned in Sefer Devarim, my suspicion is that Avodah Zarah, idolatry, is mentioned, I'm afraid to say the most, but I think it is. And, there's a lot of things which are repeated, and there are a lot of mitzvot which are new mitzvot. But the one which we keep coming back to again and again and again is the sin of idolatry. Now, here is a point, a question, and nobody threw out Rashi at me from the first pasuk in Devarim or so, or the second pasuk. Don't throw that out at me. If I were trying to remind everybody of Har Sinai on the one hand, and I'm trying to get people to be scared against doing idolatry on the other hand, then there is really an excellent example that I can use of a previous mistake which they made that had to do with Har Sinai on the one hand and had to do with Avodah Zarah on the other hand. And I think I gave you enough hints that you know what I'm talking about, and that would be the Chet HaEgel. Now that's quite intriguing, and that's actually your homework to figure out generally in Sefer Devarim, which point did we really get to it? And the reason I said don't start with me with Rashi when he says by the one of the places they got to was Dizahav. Ah, Dizahav, they had too much gold. Of course, they had too much gold. That's a hint at the. Okay, that is, there's Pshat, there's Remez, Drash, and Sod. So which one are you going to give me there? You're going to tell me it's Pshat? I think I'm going to disagree with you. You want to say that it's Drash, maybe? Remez. But it's not what the Torah says. Again, I hope that you appreciate that. It's a hint at best, but nonetheless, go try to find it because it really should be here. And once I point this out, as we go back and we start looking at this section, it's going to become more and more obvious and more perplexing. And it goes back again and it says, "Don't forget penteshkacha d'masher u'inecha, that which you saw with your eyes." And make sure that you tell this over to your children and grandchildren. Remember the day that you stood in front of God at Chorev, when God, right, and so on, and gather the people together, which means that we're going to pass on a message. So far, it's the positive side. Remember Har Sinai. Now, Har Sinai actually has two different parts to it, at least. It is the covenant, and then it's the details, which means it's the laws. It's the selection of the Jewish people becoming an Am Kadosh. It's the culmination, perhaps, of leaving Egypt. So I said two things, and I just laid out four things. But it's all of the things together. And then it goes, and Moshe describes what happened. V'tikravun v'adum tachat ahar, and you stood there, v'har bo'er ba'esh alev ha'shamayim, and he starts describing on the fire and the clouds, v'yedaber Hashem aleichem mitoch ha'esh, and God spoke from the midst of the fire, which again, now we are really having a repetition, Moshe describing what happened at Har Sinai. Part of what's going to happen, I don't want to ruin the whole parsha for you, so... You know, it's always good to be surprised when you get to Shul on Shabbos. But one of the things that's coming up is going to be a repetition of the Aseret HaDibrot. But meanwhile, we're getting ready for that and saying, okay, describing the, I would say, the emotional experience, the religious significance, before we get to, again, the content, the details. God spoke, V'deber Hashem aleichem mitoch ha'esh, right? God spoke to you. Right, you didn't see any kind of image, which is, again, if you don't get it yet, that is an anti-Avodah Zarah point. That's the covenant, and the Aseret HaDibrot. And going back to how it was written. By the way, notice now, there is something missing from all this, and of course, that's the negative side, the Chet HaEgel. And I was commanded at that point to start teaching you all of these laws and so on in order to be able to go into the land that you're going to inherit. And that's the end of Pasuk Yudalad. Guard this. Again, this is going to be, and I'm not sure if the word polemic is the right word here, but this is a polemic against idolatry. You didn't see any kind of image. Pen tashchitun va'asitim lechem pesel tmunat kosemel. Tavnit zachar o nekeva. So again, it's interesting because Har Sinai is mentioned, but part of the warning afterwards, and make sure this is not going to lead to idolatry. And it continues. It doesn't stop here. Tavnit kol behema asher ba'aretz. Tavnit kol tzipur kanaf asher ta'uf b'shamayim. Tavnit kol remes ba'adama. Tavnit kol dagash b'mayim mitachat aretz. And so on. Which means, don't make sure... Over here, it moved straight into, again, this polemic in Avodah Zarah. Now, to be perfectly honest, if we go back to the Aseret HaDibrot and Shmot, it follows also, be careful, because you didn't see anything from heaven. There also, right there, is a little bit of a discussion against Avodah Zarah. So that is consistent, but the emphasis, at least in my mind, is a little bit stronger. Pasuk Yutet, Upenti Sainecha Shamaima Vorita Tashemesh Reach Chavim Kotzava Shamaim Videdachta Vishtachavitalem. Again, be careful, don't worship any other thing. Vetchem Lakacha Shavitichemi Korha Barzel Mimitzrayim, which is also sort of just in passing. Oh, yeah, by the way, God took you out of Egypt. Liot Lo La'am Nachalak Yomazet. And again, the point is, He took you out to make you their nation, so to make you God's nation. So again, there's a covenant and you're the holy nation. There are these laws which are being taught. There's this experience that you had, but all of this is saying you're holy. Don't worship idolatry. God took you out and therefore you owe him and don't worship idolatry. God gave you these commandments and one of them is not to worship idolatry. Now, this is completely perplexing, this verse. Vashem hitanaf bi al divrechem. And God was upset with me because of your words. And therefore, God swore that I'm not going to be able to cross into the Yarden and I'm not going to go into this land which God has given us as a inheritance. I'm going to die here, and any overite Yarden, I'm not going to go with you. And you're going to this land. And by the way, that is really quite strange. What that verse is talking about? Why it's thrown in right here? Because right afterwards, what does it continue and say? I'm not going with you, and therefore he shemru lachem pentishkachu et brit Hashem elokeichem. You're going to forget the covenant of shekarati machem vasitem lachem. Back to idolatry again. Pesel tmuna. Kol asher tzivcha Hashem alakecha, ki Hashem alakecha eish ochlahu kel kana. So what's fascinating about all of this, I'm going to say it again, it really seems to me that the emphasis is that there is a covenant over here. The emphasis is don't do idolatry. And it comes back again and again and again. What we don't understand yet is that verse which really sounded perplexing. It's that God was upset with me because of what you said. What is it talking about? If we're talking about that God is upset at Moshe because of not what they said, because of what he said. Oh, unless you're going to go. Again, the easy way to do this is to read it back into the episode of hitting the rock, and therefore God's upset with me because you said, give us, you know, water or so on. But it really seems to be complicated to read that in over here. And on top of that, Moshe has already said this at least on two other occasions. He's already has indicated this. So it's strange whatever that verse is doing there, and especially coming there in the middle. The other thing, which I think we can all admit is strange, is the fact that if we want to stress, remember Sinai and don't do idolatry, it would have been a perfect opportunity to say, and by the way, you know, you've done this already. I was away, meaning you were going to the land, I'm not going to go with you. You know, last time I left you for 40 days, the next thing I know, you were having a golden calf party. And, you know, it would have been a really obvious thing to add into the speech, and it really would have been seamless. Again, I'm not Moshe's speechwriter. I can only then try to think about what I would do, and I would have used it. And I'm saying this is so strong, what I'm saying, in case I'm underselling it. It seems to be almost, I'm not going to say almost, it's a deliberate tiptoeing around the golden calf, as if he deliberately does not want to mention this, at least not here, not in this context. But he has, again, multiple things against idolatry. Remember Har Sinai, and so on. So let's go back and continue, because the truth is we have one problem. I'm not even sure if I'm going to try to solve that or not. I haven't decided about that yet. So if we continue a little bit more, we just now got up to Pasuk Kaf Dalet. Pasuk Kaf Hei continues, and it says, Ki talid banim uvnei banim v'no shantem ba'aretz v'ishchitem asitem pesel. And it goes back again. You're going to go into the land, you're going to continue on, and you're going to worship idolatry. Heyitu heidoti b'chem hayom v'teshmayim v'te'aretz ki avot ha'oveidun maher me'ala aretz ashertem ovrim et ha'yardin shama l'rishta. And I, you know, I have heaven and earth as a witness that, and by the way, that's part of what's interesting, is that you've heard this line before, and it is multiple times in Sefer Devarim. You're going to mess up, and you get messed up, you know, heaven and earth as a witness, and so on. Lo tarichun yamim aleh, ki shamei tishamedun. You're not going to spend a long time there. Shamei tishamedun, and you're going to be destroyed. V'yafitz Hashem etchem v'amim, and God is going to spread you out. You're going to exile. V'nishartim metei mispar b'goyim asher yinhag Hashem etchem shama. And there's going to be all kinds of implications for the Jewish people. Small in number when you go out and you're in exile. V'avadatim sham Elohim ma'asei yedei Adam. And there also you're going to worship Eitz v'Evin. The Vilna Gaon said Eitz v'Evin, which is wood and stones, he says, is a remez, if you will, for Eitz is the cross and Evin is the stone. He believes this is Christianity and Islam. He said, you're going to go and you're going to worship other religions. And there in the midst of your idolatrous ways in exile, you will search out for God and find him. And at the end of days, and you will return to God. Now, all of this is, of course, fascinating. And one of the reasons it's fascinating is because Moshe will come back to all of these themes again. And that's why it's also difficult, because there is this emphasis on this. We're going to mess up. He's not going to be there with us. We're going to worship idols. We're going to go into exile, and we're going to have to return to God somehow. But God will, as it were, awaken us in our hearts. Ki karachom Hashem alakecha, lo yirpecha, v'lo yashchitecha, v'lo yishkachet brit avotecha asher nishba lahem. And therefore, even though we may have broken this covenant, God is still going to keep the covenant with us. And again, you know, all of this continues. I'm just not sure how much we should keep on reading the verses, because I think you already very much have an idea, again, about what this says. And then it goes on to give a little bit of an inspiration as far as, you know, what we should have deep in our hearts. כי שאלנה לימים ראשונים אשר היו לפניך למן היום אשר ברא אלוקים אדם על אדמה ולקצה השמיים ועד קצה השמיים, הנהיה כדבר הגדול הזה? או נשמע כמו? Was there ever a thing like this? And now again, he's returning back to various things that he wants us to really internalize. Hashama'am kol elokim adibar mitoch ha'esh asher shamata ata v'yachi? Has anyone ever heard God speak and the heavens open up? O hanisa elokim lavo lakachat lo goy mikerev goy? Has God ever taken a nation outside of a nation? Again, making reference to Yitziat Mitzrayim. But it's interesting what the focus is. B'masot ba'otot u'mavtim, again, with signs and wonders, u'machama b'yad chazaka u'vizro nutuya u'morei gdolim, again, all the wonders that took place in Egypt, k'kol asher asa Hashem lachem, k'kol asher asa lachem Hashem elokeichem b'mitzrayim la'inecha, all these things that you witnessed, you experienced in Egypt, so you need to know that God is God, because you saw the miracles and you saw the heavens open up. And again, coming back, and you saw the heavens open up, and so on. And the implication of all of this is not to forget your belief in God, which means it's very interesting how Har Sinai is brought in. It's very interesting how Egypt is brought in. Both of them are brought in. This is a fundamental piece of Jewish belief and experience that there was Egypt and there was Matan Torah. It's really designed in order to keep us on the straight and narrow because we experience these things. Now, just I want to get to Pasuk. We'll read Lamitet and Mem, and then we'll get to our problem. V'yadata hayom. And you should know, Vashivota Elvavecha, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim B'Shemayim Ma'ava Aretz B'Tachat Einod. Right? There is only one God, and this is it, this is God, and so on. And you all need to know that to internalize that. Vishamarte Chukav, Vet Mitzvotav, Asher Nochi Mitzvcha Hayom. And you need to follow the statutes and the laws which I'm commanding you. Asher Yitav Lecha Ulevanecha Recha, which will be good for you and your children and descendants, in order that you should stay in the land, which is really like these two polar opposites. Either you're going to worship idols and then you're going to end up being chased out, or you're going to remember and internalize this message and you'll stay. Now, our big problem today is going to be Pasuk Mem Aleph, which is the end of the parak. Az yavdil Moshe shalosh arim be'ever Yarden mizrach ha-shemesh. And then Moshe separated three cities on the other side of the Yarden, and so on. Now that, I hope you understand, sounds completely disconnected to everything else, because we're in the middle of a speech. And then we continue in source 2, v'yikra Moshe al kol Yisrael, which again seems to be the beginning of a new speech, or Moshe takes a deep breath, but the question is, what is Pasuk Mem Aleph doing there? And then it says, and Moshe called V'yomem Shema Yisrael T'chokim V'shtim Asher Nochi Dover Bo Desneichem. Again, listen to these statutes and laws, which I'm going to tell you. And U'lamadetem Otom U'shmartem L'asot, to make sure you do it. Hashem Elkeinu Karetim Anu Brit B'Chorev. And it goes right back to what we were up to. God made a covenant with you on Chorev. Right? Not just your parents, but everybody's here as well. The covenant is with them as well. Why? And it goes back again. Pasuk Da'akos, God spoke to you face to face. And I was there. Anochi Omeid bein Hashem uvneichem beitahi lagid lachem et dvar Hashem. You know, I was there. Why? Ki yireitem bnei ha'esh v'lo alitem b'har lemor. Because you were afraid, right? And then God said, following, and then the Seretidia brought a throne in, and we skipped those. I hope that you know them. And now we're right after the Seretidia brought. And it says, you know, God said all these things from the midst of the fire and so on, and he gave me the tablets, it's Pasuk Yutet. And when you heard all of this, then you approached Vatomer, Hein Heranu Hashem, again, confirming what we just now saw God speak, right? Elkeinu et kvodo vet gadlo vet kolo shamanu mitoch ha'esh. Hayom zara'inu ki deber Elokim. We saw that God can speak to man and we live. Nonetheless, despite what they saw, lama namut. You know, why should we die? So despite the fact that they know that they're still alive, they said, you know, we can't do this. If we hear any more, we may die, we will die. And therefore, ki kol basar sheshama kol elokim chayim medaber mitochesh kmo v'yachi. So again, God's speaking to man is dangerous. We don't want to do it. So what do they do? Karavata. So you go, Vishamat. It's dangerous, Moshe. You go. Vishamat kol asher yomar Hashem Elokeinu. Va'at taber elenu et kol asher yedaber Hashem Elokeinu lacha vishamanu basinu. And whatever you tell us, we're going to do. Vayishma Hashem et kol devrechem bedabrechem elai. And God obviously heard all the things you said. Vayomar Hashem elai. Shamati et kol devrei ha'am hazeh. I heard what they said. Asher dibru elecha hetivu kol asher diberu. And it sounds like God approves. But kavav mi etain vayelavam zeh lahem li ra'otiv lishmorit kol mitzvotai kol yamim. You know, had only they had been able to listen, which is very interesting, because if you go back and compare this to the same narrative in Shemot, there it's Moshe who's saying, if only you were to listen, and that would put Yirat of God upon you, Yirat Elokim upon you, and over here, it's God who is speaking and saying these things, which Moshe, now we realize, just relate. Lechem or lem shavu lechem lo lechem. Go and tell them they should go back. Vatapo amodi madiva deber lecha. And I'm going to tell you all the things, and so on. So, I hope you realize, again, what our problems are. Har Sinai is the focus. But then the question is, for what purpose? Har Sinai is the focus, and therefore we had two chapters in a row where the thing which is being spoken about is the experience at Sinai. But when I again ask that question, but for what purpose, it sounds very much that the purpose is for, in order to instill with us this belief in God, this knowledge of God, and fear of God, that we should not be guilty of idolatry. It continues in that second chapter, and again, my biggest problem is still that one verse over there, and then Moshe went and separated three cities. And what in the world it's doing there, because we have these two chapters which are really thematically quite connected, even though it sounds very much like Moshe takes a breath before he starts off and gives the continuation or the second speech. But even if he's taking a breath, it sounds very much like it's a continuation, because again, I'm pointing out that thematically, it's quite the same. Is it identical? No. But to what extent there is interaction between the two, I think that's an important question, and maybe we have to work a little harder to see that. I'll try to point something out before we finish about that, and we'll wait for that a little bit. But first, let's take a look now and see, very simply, what do the commentators do with this? Which means, there's, again, the problem is so obvious, and it's essentially, what is that verse doing there? It's the middle of his speech. Why does it say, oh, and Moshe did this? Well, so we'll start. Again, this is in no particular order other than the order that I chose to put it in. We'll start with the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra gives you an answer which could be 100% true, but is completely disappointing. Ki yavdil Moshe hatam biyom sheyavdil Moshe el harim az amar divrei habrit. It's the same day. Because it's the same day, that's the way it's told. Again, by the way, I hope you all appreciate the irony. Ibn Ezra, the big fan of Mukdam and Mukha the Torah, he never cared about the sequence of events till now. And now, oh, this is the same day, and that's why the two of them together, which I hope that you all realize that that is not necessarily a convincing response, especially of all people from the Ibn Ezra. That he says, oh, why is it here? So what's he really saying? I have no idea why it's here. And then what's he saying why it's here? Well, I'll tell you why it has to be here, because it had to be the same day. Otherwise, if it's not the same day, then what's he really telling us? I have no idea what it's doing over here. So again, the Ibn Ezra, even though I think his explanation may be a little bit disappointing, he's saying, I know it's disappointing, and therefore it had to be the same day. We're like, what else is possible? The Rashbam, in case we're not sure, you know, you're not sure if the question is a good question, the Rashbam, and you'll say, one Rishon after the other asks the question. So again, he points out exactly what I pointed out, that why do we have a break in two different chapters which are thematically connected? Why does it tell us about some random thing that Moshe did in the middle of these two chapters which are thematically connected in terms of discussing Har Sinai, when you could have constructed this speech in such a way or the narrative in such a way that one flows into the other? And if that pasuk were not here or someplace else, then nobody would be searching it. Again, we've done this thing many, many times. If that verse were not there, nobody here would have said, hold it, I think I got the perfect place for that verse. Let's stick it in right here between two different discussions about Har Sinai. I hope you all would admit that none of you ever would have done that, which again goes back to the Ibn Ezra's point. Yeah, so it must be that it happened the same day. But again, you note that the Rashbam is asking the same question. Because Moshe has, it's interesting, Sheherich, he said so many things till now. So he's actually saying something very interesting. Again, you have to maybe go back and really check this. He goes, but now Moshe is beginning to explain the mitzvot. Now he's doing what he was commanded to do from the beginning, to explain the commandments. And there he's going to have to add to the other part of it that they have to also do three cities on the other side, so therefore I'd have to mention the first over here. And I hope you all realize how inadequate this explanation is. Because once he's pointed out that the second part of this is going to be discussed later on in Parshat Shoftim, or as he calls it, Shoftim v'Shotrim, then you realize that this part also could have been mentioned in Parshat Shoftim and Shotrim. You could have said both parts over there. You could have said, and Moshe separated three on one side of the Jordan, and you have to separate out the other side of the Jordan. It didn't have to be here for the very reason that he's pointing out. But he's saying, no, because now we're soon going to get to Parshat Shoftim. Nobody peek ahead and look how many chapters ahead Parshat Shoftim is in order to convince us that this is why it had to be said right now. I mean, this is really interesting, because when you see Rishonim ask a question, which is a really good question, and then work so hard to give answers, then you realize that the question is good. And we also realize that we're a little stuck. And so on. Let's see what else over here. L'kach katuv, kan ki Moshe v'dilam kvar v'lekach lo tziva l'Yisrael. Saying, okay, Moshe already did on this side, and therefore he didn't have to command the other side. All, it's very circular, what he's saying over here. And again, he's got a problem. And it's not just him, if you haven't noticed. We have a problem. The Bechor Shor is also. So he's going back. After they captured it, which is really quite obvious, because before they captured it, then Moshe could not have done this. So once, you know, they have inherited this land, because we were told previously how Moshe, you know, how we took the land. So now it tells us of how Moshe established them. And it uses an interesting word, because Moshe was very good at zrizut. Zrizut is not just, it's an attitude towards mitzvot. Yeah, mitzvah bali adcha al tach mitzena. Right, if a commandment, right, that's all, the Gemara learns that out. Al tikre matzot. Ela mitzvot, right? Ushmartim eta matzot, ushmartim eta mitzvot. Matzah, you can't just take all day. 18 minutes passes by, you have 100% chametz. So therefore, the Gemara says, no, this is true by all mitzvot, because the word matzah and mitzvah look quite similar. They can even be the same sometimes. And therefore it says, okay, so Moshe knows that this is an ethic, that we need to do things quickly, and therefore this is an example of Moshe's zrizut. Which saying, it's really giving praise to Moshe. The Chizkuni, Az Yavdil Moshe, Acharei Kotot Tzichon, V'kvar Pirushat Tzivori Parshat Masai, but we already were told this back in Sefer Bamidbar. V'kan Iskir HaMa'aseh Laskir Tovazu Im Shara Tovot Shasalehem. It's to remind the people of all the good things that Moshe has done, and one more good thing he's done, they needed to remember that as well. Which, of course, you all understand that both the answer of the Bechor Shor and the Chizkuni, if it were someplace else, they could have said the same thing as well. The Alatzmo Omer Moshe Kach V'hu Ki'ilu K'tiv Az Hivdalti Dugma Adam Ki Ze Im Shara Tavot Shasalehem. Again, sorry, Ki Yakriv Mikem Korban. So he's just explaining the diktuk and the language of this. Let's look at the Dat Zakenim. And by the way, the Dat Zakenim is one of the commentaries, Dat Zakenim of Balei Tosfot, which is really very often fascinating. So let's take a look at what he does. You know, as much as the Rashbam, you know, comes from the same school as Tosfot, and he moves towards Pshat, the Dat Zakenim, Pshat never bothered them. I mean, they were very much more influenced upon other kind of traditions. Az Yavdil Moshe, Az Lashon Shira. So that's is interesting. He says, okay, where do I have a famous Uz? I have a famous Uz backed by Uz Yashir. By the way, there's more than one. So he's saying, okay, Uz, you have deal. So therefore, there's something. Again, if you want, you can call this also a remez. If you want to pick on me now, say, or pick on the Dat Zakenim, he's saying is that there's a song over here. Kimo Uz Yashir Moshe. Kishishamu sha'amar kadosh baruch hu. Ula'aretz lo yichu par ladam. Ki medam shavchu amru v'chimi harag b'shogeg yeneharag heaven shegid Moshe refuato shel davar levorach le'irei miklat az amru shira, that they understood the seriousness of spilling blood, and they thought at first that there is no healing for this, and now they hear that somebody who spilled blood, even though it's such a severe thing, they can go run to the ir miklat. They felt that the fact that you could get off the hook, as it were, was something to celebrate. And that's what people say, that the person who eats a certain dish knows how it tastes. What in the world is he saying? Read another couple words. Kach Moshe, kishaharag ha-mitzri, u-borach. When Moshe killed the Mitzri, he had to run into Galut. So he knows the value of such a thing. Yadama on shan shel harigim levroach. He understood what it's like to have to run away, and therefore to institutionalize and build an er miklat that somebody can escape if they killed somebody by accident. Therefore, Moshe knows what the value of this is, and therefore Moshe is making sure to put this in. And then he, for good measure, he throws two other people into it. One is more obvious than the other. And he says, "Kol arotzchin borchim l'sham adam rishon sheknas mita shekines." I guess it's called, how would you read that? Shekanas mita al bnei ha'olam, that Adam caused his punishment, caused there to be death in the world. Barach l'mizrach. That's why Adam had to be exiled, and therefore he had to leave the Garden of Eden. And the more obvious example, and Cain, who had to go run away with Hashem, and he also had to go out. And therefore, this idea of the person who's guilty of causing death has to go run away. He says, look, it's by Adam, it's by Cain, it's by Moshe, and therefore Moshe understands the value in that. We'll skip 8 and go to 9, the Ramban. The Ramban will first start up with the Ibn Ezra. Az yavdil Moshe shalosh harim, pirish Rabbi Avram, Ibn Ezra. B'yom shavdil Moshe shalosh harim, az amar divrei brit. He says, oh, it's the same day. Ve'enu nachon. And again, the Ramban, who never holds back a punch, especially if it's aimed at the Ibn Ezra, says, he's wrong. Aval hu kipshuto, ki Moshe asav kol yisor leva'er lema Torah. Moshe gathers everyone together to teach him Torah. U'potach lam b'divrei ha-tochachot. And he starts teaching rebuke. Now, this is interesting, because the Ramban just now did what everyone else couldn't do. He took us right back into context. What was our problem? It sounded like a non sequitur. And what did the Ramban do? No, this is absolutely connected. Moshe's giving them tochacha. He says, you're going to be guilty of avodah zarah. Make sure that you remember that there's one God. And he said to them that you have to make sure you keep on the laws. Azamar b'mamadam lufneim ata nikayem mitzvah asher tzivano Hashem. And again, he's telling you have to keep all of these commandments. In a bit, Sarah Midbar, Ramot, one second, Imakalat, Nos Shama Koratiak Shaka, the Alpha Pisha Enu Kolatet Achi of Du Otam Shiva Eretz Canaan, even though these three cities will not be functional until the other three, which means they're linked together. You need the ones on both sides of the Jordan in order for it to work, by the way, kind of like Shemitah to be on a Torah level, Bizman Ezeh, that you need it to be practiced on both sides of the Jordan. You need the tribes of Reuven and Gad in terms of the laws of Yovel in order to be in most of each tribe to be in their land. That's what Rashi says, what the Rambam says. Only at that point is Yovel practiced. Only when Yovel's practiced is Shemitah practiced. But now you realize it's the same thing here for Ir Miklat as well. Amar mitzvah shabal yadenu nekayem ota leman yitav lanu. That once a commandment is there to be done, you do it. Now, part of what the Ramban just now said is clear when you read him a couple of times. But there's actually a trick. and that is that more often than not, Rabbeinu Bachaye will tell you what the Ramban said and make it a little bit easier. So let's read the Rabbeinu Bachaye. Right, Az Yavdi Moshe, then Moshe separated these cities. V'Alfa Pishe Da Moshe Shelo Yu Arim Eilu Kol Tot Ad Shavdino Shelosh Beretz Kanan. Even the Moshe knew that it's not operational yet until the other side is done as well. Mikol Mokam Ritzah Lishtadel Afilu B'Chatzim Mitzvah Kedei Losif Ota Al Shar Mitzvotav V'Tzidkotav Asher Asa. That Moshe wanted to do a mitzvah, even if it's half a mitzvah. And by the way, there's an important educational message in that. You know, it's not just the zrizut that we saw before, which is, you know, attitudinal. How do you do a mitzvah? And there's two ways of looking at zrizut. One way of looking at zrizut is, you know, you put a check over there. Okay, I got that one out of the way, which is not really what zrizut is. Zrizut is, at least the way the Maharal explains it, is my need to be, to have a relationship with the eternal God who's outside of time. Therefore, I rushed, as it were, to try to get out of time. If that makes sense, great. But that is what the Maharal says. But the Rabbeinu Bachaye, again, explaining the Ramban is a little different. He goes, I know it's not a complete mitzvah. I know that it's not there yet. But if Moshe now is teaching the people about mitzvot, it's not enough to sit inside a classroom. Again, for example, can you imagine we're going to be learning the laws of tzedakah, and we go through every single nuance about tzedakah. And if you even want to dramatize, then a poor man comes knocking at the door and you throw him out. Listen, we're learning about tzedakah now. We don't have any time to give you any. Which means that learning about the mitzvot also needs what we can call a practicum. Which means Moshe has a mitzvah to do over here. So he's teaching them something. He's talking about the mitzvot and he's warning them about the mitzvot and keep the mitzvot. So what does Moshe do in order to illustrate this? I have a mitzvah. I'm going to do it. But you can say, what are you talking about? I have a mitzvah. It's not even operational yet. But that's an important message. I have half a mitzvah to do. I'm going to do half the mitzvah. What difference does it make that I can't complete it? And therefore, according to what the Ramban, again, as explained by Rabbeinu Bachaye, with a little bit of help from me, he's saying that this is important. Mikan nilman hit orut gadol b'kiyum mitzvot. V'kanukal hit bonin b'malata mitzvah v'kocham v'schara ma'atzum k'ashe yaseh adam al hashlemot. And realize the enormity of what a mitzvah is, and that is why Moshe is doing it at this point. And it really is part of his speech, but it's the practical part of the speech. The Siftei Kohen is going to say similar things, but let's pay attention. Az Yavdi Moshe Shalosh Arim, Kishara Moshe Shahuchichan, Shamar Kitalid Banim, and so on, Vizhiran Alinyana Tshuva. And then after he said, listen, you're going to mess up, and he gave him tochacha, he gave them rebuke. And then he said, but you can do tshuva. Vaziram Alinyana Tshuva Shama Veshivota Levecha, Vikiblua Tochachot. Rotza Atalechazek Leben Batshuva, Bevdel Shalosh Arim, Kide Shamru, Ma im lerotzchim shehergulo ulzoratav atidim latzei imenu yesh lo atzala v'tikun kol shken shar averot. So that's fascinating what he did. He's saying is that Moshe just now gave them a warning. You know, you're going to mess up. But then he went and said that you'll do tshuva. The way that the Siftei Kohen is understanding the idea of the Ir Miklat is to give hope even to people who are guilty of the worst possible crimes, they also have some kind of way of fixing it. And says, "Bederech shasal rotzchanim shemisham hi horalach hataim lize samach kan zohar parsha," which means he understands that the hope of the Ir Miklat is there as a continuation of the concept of tshuva. And I'll say it again: that is something which is, I think, quite interesting. Okay. He then adds in what we already saw before, that Moshe himself understood this because of his running away after killing the mitzvah, and he throws in at the end. Source number 12, we have the Kli Yakar. And the Kli Yakar, as we start looking at it, you'll see he's not happy with anybody. Az Yavdil Moshe Shalom B'kishur Pasuk Zeh Ima Inyana Kodem. He goes, regarding the connection, what this is doing with, you know, how it connects to anything else, Yotsua Mefarshim Lil Kot Below Matsu, they went to gather and they didn't find anything. Biur Maspik Umahu Lashon Az. They tried, but you know, as much as the Rabban said the Ibn Ezra failed, he said everybody's failed. Vata Hateyaz Nacha. Now listen carefully. Ushma and listen. Ki Matzinu Shadam Matchil B'Mitzvah And by the way, as much as you can say, that he can say everyone else failed, it sounds pretty much like the way the Rabbeinu B'chaye had interpreted the Ramban. So, okay. The Kli Yakar also had books to sell. But let's continue with it. Nonetheless, there's a message over here. You have an opportunity to do a mitzvah. You go ahead and do it. And then he gives some examples about this. He says, "Kamosha matzinu b'David." Right, David was not able to build the Beit HaMikdash. Nonetheless, he started the process. And then he says, also, "Derech mashal ish zaken hanote ilan le'etrog." He goes like an elderly person can plant an etrog tree. Etrog shel mitzvah afal pi shel yodea be'emet shelo yachol lavo lidei mitzvah zu mikol makom banav yochlum lavo lidei kiyuma. But sometimes we plant things for our children or for our grandchildren, even though we know that we will not necessarily ourselves be able to gather from it. Now, I don't know about you, but that definitely reminded me of something. And it's the thing that reminded me of, which I want to get into a little bit. When I tell you what it is, you can all say, yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. Then he goes on to say, you know, even the ben she yitavdach ratzon lo meshivetcha legomra, ben she yitavdach vanecha charecha in bedecha legomra, whether you can finish something or not. Again, that's the example of David, and that's the example of his example of the tree. But then he says something really clever. He says, actually, he goes, I skipped it a little bit. He says, that's what the pasuk said. I just want to go back and look at the pasuk, and then you'll understand exactly what he's doing. I'm sorry, just going backwards to the end of the first verse, right before the pasuk that we had a difficulty with. Look at pasuk mem. V'shmart et chukata et chukav et mitzvotav v'shinochi mitzvcha yom ha-sheitav lecha u'livanecha acharecha. Remember the mitzvot for you and for your descendants afterwards. And then it says, Azivir Moshe. The Moshe did something even though it wasn't completed. So he says, no, that's the mashal. You start something even though it'll be good for your children because that's what the pasuk said. So that was the one, I don't know a better word than the knetch. That was the one thing that the Kli Yakar threw into this as he read it into the verse, which was actually, okay, I have to hand it to him. That was a little sharper than what anyone else had said. Because it worked into the pasuk a little bit better, because it actually says, you should follow these mitzvot for you and for the future. He goes, oh, look, Moshe does something, even though he starts, doesn't complete it. And as I said, he has this connection. Now, what were we all thinking about, hopefully, when we mentioned this idea about you do something even though you're not going to gain from it yourself? And the answer, of course, obviously, is the story of somebody who's known as Choni HaMa'agel. Yes or no? You can all shake your head. So, of course, that's what I was thinking of. Okay. So, a couple things about Choni. First of all, in Source 13, we learn in the Mishnah that we had a problem. It didn't rain. And Choni had to make it rain. He's the rainmaker. Ma'asesh amu l'choni ma'agel hitpalel shudu g'shamim. Pray that the rain will come. Amar lehim tzu'u v'chnisu tanurei psachim b'shvil shlo yimoku v'tpalel. He goes, take the things which can melt in the water and bring them inside. He was so confident it would rain, but it didn't rain. Og uga, so he put a circle around. V'amar betochan, he sat and he stood in the middle of the circle. V'amar ribono sholam, banecha, samu pneim alai, shani kebin bayit lefanecha. He goes, your descendants, they trusted me, but they, because I'm like a ben bayit by you. Nishbani bishmech bishmcha gadol sheineni zaz mikan ad shetirachem abanecha. He goes, listen, I'm not moving from here until you have compassion. Hitchilu gishamim, and they began to fall minatfin, which means tipa tipa, very a drizzle. Amar, and he says back to God, lo kach shalti, that's not what I asked for. Elegishmei borot, I asked for real rain. Right, so then what happened? Yardu bezaf, and then it really started to rain. Amar lo kach sha'alti, elegish mei ratzon. I didn't ask for too little. This is like Goldilocks, not too hot, not too cold. I wanted it right in the middle. Elegish mei ratzon bracha nedeva. Yardu ketikonan ad shelo yisrael miyushalayim l'arabayim b'nei gishamim. And it rained and so on. Now, the result of all this was that in source number 14 is the Gemara commenting on this Mishnah, saying that Shimon ben Shetach says, listen, Il moli choni ata gozrani alecha nidui. If you weren't choni, meaning that you're such a holy person, I would excommunicate you, because that's not the way that a person talks to God. I mean, essentially saying you're mechotzef. It's not the way you talk. And I'll leave it at that. Now, the Gemara then continues afterwards and tells us, and just by the way, the late Tamar, Rabbi Yisachar Temer, tells us that in Megillah Ta'anit, in Perek Yud Bet, there's actually a holiday that during Bayit Sheni that they celebrated because of when the rain fell. That this is an event that they knew when they wrote down. It was the 20th day of Adar, is they celebrated every year, the Choni Amagil rain story. That's the day. I don't know if they do anything. There is some kind of tradition that he's buried in Chatzor HaGlilit. I don't know how Chatzor, you know, got that, where they came from, but they should celebrate every year on the 20th of Adar. So if anybody wants, they could, you just got to open up like the ice cream stand there. Oh, ice cream is not something I should talk about today. Okay, let's continue. The Gemara then in source number 16 then continues and tells us a story about Choni. Ah, you know, you heard, well, let me tell you another story about Choni. There was a pasuk that bothered him. Shira malot b'shuva Hashem et shiva tzion hayinu kichomim. That's the verse that bothered him. Amar mi'ika d'neim shivim shana? Because they were actually in exile for 70 years. He goes, can somebody really sleep for 70 years? Yom achadav azal b'orcha. He was going along, v'chazi lahu gavra. And he sees a person, d'hava nata charuva. And he sees a person planting a carob tree. Amar leh. Hi at kamishin in tayin. He goes, how long does it take for this to give fruit? Amar leh, shivim shana. It takes 70 years. Amar leh, pshita lach. He goes, you know as well as I do. Dechay shivim shana. You're not going to be here 70 years. Amar leh, hi gavra alma b'charuva ashkachate. When I came into the world, there were cherub trees. They were charuv. Ki hechi deshatluli avotai. The same way that my father's grandfather, great-grandfathers, they planted these trees for me and they were here when I got here, I'm doing this for the future. And he went and he had some bread and then he sort of fell asleep. And we're told that he sleeps, closes his eyes and he sleeps for some 70 years. So this is the original Rip Van Winkle story. When he wakes up, he sees the guy, you know, by the tree, and he sees the fruit. Amar leh, atu deshatlete? Are you the one who planted this? Amar leh, lo, no. Bar berei ana, no, I'm the grandson. Amar leh, shma mina, deny me shivim shana. He goes, oh, I guess I slept for 70 years. So as the story ends, and that's really where I want to get to, is the end of the story is going to be important for us somehow for today. So let's just move over to the English because it'll be a little bit easier. And he went home and he asked, is the son of Choni Amagil alive? And they said, his son is long alive, but his son's son is alive. He said to him, I'm Choni Amagil. They didn't believe him. He went to the Beit Midrash. And the Chachamim there heard that Choni, the real Choni, his halachot were enlightening, which means he brightened up the room when he walked in. And this fellow who started to talk, they realized that he was as enlightening as when Choni Amagil. For when Choni Amagil entered the Beit Midrash, he would resolve all the questions that anybody had. So, by the way, it's important. He wasn't just a miracle worker; he was also Talmud Chacham. And Choni then said, "But I'm him. I mean, that's why I can do this. It's not just that I can do it like him. I'm him." But they didn't believe him, and they didn't give him any kavod, which is also interesting. He was able to answer all their questions, but they didn't know who he was. So he became very upset and he prayed to God for mercy and he died. Rav has said that this explains what people say, either friendship or death. We'll go back to the Aramaic for that particular phrase. Hainu damri inchi o chavruta o mituta. Like, you know, give me a chavruta or give me death. I think one of the... It's an interesting story. I want to make two points about this and then we'll come back to where we were up to. One, the Yerushalmi has the same story again and says the whole thing about falling asleep for 70 years was not the original Choni. It was his grandson named Choni. And so if anybody wants, the Yerushalmi's there in front of you. We don't need it. But the interesting thing about Choni is his ability to pray. And he prays and he demands it and it works. And the reason I find that interesting is that's really the beginning of the parsha that we skipped. This Ve'et Chanan. You know, Moshe pleads, and God doesn't listen. So God listens to Choni, and Choni's able to say, you know, too hot, too cold, I want it just right. It's drizzling, it's too heavy, you know, I want exactly like this. So wouldn't you think that Moshe Rabbeinu should be able to pray and get some results as well? And maybe my question's unfair. Over here, again, in the beginning of the parasha, it's another time that Moshe says, V'etaber Hashem bilam anchem, right? Again, it's because of you. As I told you, it's already a couple times that Moshe says things like this. And God says, Ravlach, al tasif teber elai od bedvarezeh. Just one thing, the Ve'et Chanan, the Midrash says that he prayed 515 times. So had he prayed one more time, 516, that he would have been able to enter into Israel. So the old Jewish agency in New York had, I think it was Park Avenue, they had their office on 515 Park Avenue. So I always thought that was good, that 515 is the amount of times that Moshe prays to go into Eretz Yisrael. So I thought it was great that their office was on 515. Rav Lach, Rav, right, 202 plus 50 is 252. The Megala Amukot wrote 252 explanations why Moshe couldn't go in and why God didn't accept it. And he wanted to write more, but God didn't let him. Rav Lach, that's enough. This is and actually he says the Rav is connected to the Erev Rav and the Lach is connected to the Meraglim. I told you, you have to listen to my... So Moshe prays, but Moshe can't go in. So now notice something interesting in Source 19. It's a Medrash Tanchuma. It's one of the numerous times that we have this back and forth between Moshe and Paro, and Paro says, please pray for me. And so at this point in the Midrash, Moshe says, what do you mean I should pray for you? Every single time you say pray for you, and then you don't listen, and you mess up again. You know, we essentially Moshe is saying to Paro, we are in a dysfunctional relationship, right? This is not working very well. And Paro promises, I'll be good this time, I'll behave, you know, please, and so on and so forth. And so... So again, maybe we'll start here. In the fourth line, I'll send them now. Right, what does he do? So he goes out, he starts to pray. And it works. Tzadikim just have to ask and God does it. Which of course you realize the irony of all this. So it's interesting that it goes and uses Choni as a continuation. Oh, just like Moshe, Choni God listens to. But at the very end of the story over here, it goes then, they listens and the rain a little and a lot and comes out. So I don't know if you ever knew that or ever saw that. It says, no, his whole ability to do this is because he is a Moshe-like character. Moshe is also a ben bayit by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same way that Choni is, Moshe also is. Moshe va'atzma lach kama v'chama. So it's very interesting because God listens to Choni, and here in Ve'et Chanan, God doesn't listen to Moshe. And I guess that's really what we still need to figure out why this is. Those of you who need a Hasidic story, you'll see the one quoted in bold in source number 20. And it's for you, but it's, you know, maybe we'll look at it because it's going to give us something. At least I hope it will. He writes, he starts off and tells us, this is again the late Tamara commentary in the Yerushalmi, who told over the story over there, and he talked about Shimon ben Shetach, you know, saying to Choni, it's not right the way that you're behaving, you know, how so he says, listen, you know, I'm like a son in front of God and I can say things the way I need to. V'yesh la'ir b'kesher zeh shagon ha'kadosh Rav Avram Mislonim. This is the first Slonim Rebbe. Kishebachru bo ha'chassidim l'rabam. When the chassidim appointed him as their Rebbe, omer lo dido agon ha'charif, and Rav Mislonim v'loshem b'dichutza. And he had a friend who said to him in a somewhat joking manner, hinei eich zeh etmol Rabbi Avram v'yom Rebbe. Yesterday you were Rabbi Avram, and today you're a Rebbe. An alo a rabbi, hello truma. He goes, learn it to halach of truma. Shetomim min akeri chitim. You take, you know, something and you dedicate this. You call this truma lefnei truma. How you took futsa shel chitim beforehand it was just wheat. Kishar chitim v'achareisha tamruul. So once you separate this as truma, nase kadosh, it becomes holy. V'korim also truma, and they call it truma. He goes, that's what happened. They selected me. It's not me. It's them. Va'afani kishabachru biyachasidim v'tomim alsi meyachabura. Once they separated me, v'omrim shani Rebbe, and they said that you're Rebbe, ani nasa Rebbe, I became a Rebbe. By the way, we have to figure out what this has to do with our parsha, which I'll tell you in a second. Analo, this fellow who was speaking to him said, Yom Echad Rebbe v'kvar shechach alecha. He says, Rav Avram, you're only a Rebbe for one day. You ready for forgotten a halacha? Chayr shotev akatan shetarmu ain't trumas and truma. I don't know how much I'm going to explain that. He goes, who appointed you? What are you talking about? But that's actually the point over here. He continues, says, Misichas cholin shel tamid chacham zu anulim napshat kan. What is the Barchoni Amagel? He's a representative of the people. The people declare, he goes, okay, I'm the voice of the people. It's not me, I'm the voice of the people. The people need rain, and therefore they declared me to do this. So I do this for them, but it's really, I am doing it for Am Yisrael, for them. And maybe that's the beginning of the difference between Choni and Moshe, because at this point, Moshe is ostensibly making a request, which is for him. He's saying, please, I want to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe is not making a request like many other requests that Moshe has made over the years when Moshe says, praying for the people, forgive the people, so God forgives the people. Moshe says this, no, I need you in our midst, so he's in the midst, which means when Moshe prays for Am Yisrael, it works. So maybe there's something about this which is ostensibly not for Am Yisrael, and it's Moshe, I want to go in, so it's no. But I actually want to say everything now a little bit deeper. Because if we're saying then that Choni really is a Moshe type of character, and that Choni is a continuation of Moshe, and Choni therefore can pray for rain and God will listen because he's like Moshe, and Moshe can do what he does in Egypt, but look at the end of the story with Choni. A couple of generations later, he can walk in the Beis Medrash and light up the room and answer all questions just like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Moshe does. He walks in and he lights up the whole place. And Moshe can answer every question. And they gave him no kavod at all. Which means maybe this really should be read back into Moshe's story. Moshe enters into Eretz Yisrael, the new generation, the next generation, the next generation. They're not going to remember who he is anymore. Life is going to move on. Time is going to move on. And Moshe's not going to be Moshe for them, because they will have forgotten him. He's some old timer who knows how to answer questions. They couldn't respect Choni, who knew everything, answered every question. So maybe there is something to read back. I do want to say one more thing, and it's what I left out, and it's a suspicion that I have. When we looked back, maybe we'll just look at the sources one more time. Remember, I told you there was something that troubled me, and that is there seemed to have been a second non sequitur, which seemed to have, again, no connection with anything, where Moshe says, and because of your words, where is that pasuk? Sorry, all the way back in the first source, where he says as well that God was upset because of your words. And as we were reading this, at least I was trying to figure out what words is he talking about. Yeah, in pasuk kaf aleph it says Vashem hit anafbi al divreichem. Which words? What is he talking about? Now, if we are to read Perek Dalet and Perek He together, they did say one thing in Perek He, which may be the thing that we're talking about. And that's when they said, God, don't talk to us, just talk to Moshe. See, something happened at that point. What happened at that point is that the people refused to live up to the level they should have lived up on. At that moment, by the way, Moshe gets raised on a pedestal, even on a higher pedestal that he was on. Because God wanted to speak to everybody, and now Moshe becomes this person who speaks for them, and he becomes separated from everybody else. I once pointed out an idea which is really found in the Meshech Chachma, that Moshe in this context saying that I couldn't go because of you may very well be a reference and connected to the Chet HaEgel. Let me explain. One of the things that Moshe does is after they do the Chet HaEgel, he breaks the Luchos. He didn't have permission. So the Meshech Chachma is a brilliant interpretation. He says, you know why he did it? He goes, if they worship a golden calf, Kal Vachomer, they'll end up worshiping the Luchot. The golden calf they made out of gold, but the Luchot really were holy. They came from God. They came from heaven. So when Moshe then, by the rock, says, you know, we will take the word out of the rock, and it makes it look like him, Moshe then ran the risk of becoming like an idolater himself. I mean, it's one thing the previous generations who remembered Moshe's mother and his father and his brother and his sister, and so that's one generation. A new generation will actually put Moshe too much on a pedestal, and therefore Moshe can't go in. So, by the way, I just now gave you two opposite interpretations, and I hope you all realize that. You don't have to tell me I contradicted myself. I know I contradicted myself. I gave you two interpretations why Moshe couldn't go in. One interpretation, the second one, is because Moshe is on too high of a level, and they'll end up turning Moshe into some kind of an idol, some kind of the, meaning this whole thing was about idolatry, and don't worship things you shouldn't be worshiping. They ran a risk of worshiping Moshe. And the other possibility is that Moshe will end up becoming too diminished when he goes in their perception, because they're going to forget who Moshe is as they forget everything else. And therefore, it's not in the covet of Moshe to go in, sort of like Choni at the very end. And, you know, what a tragedy. Choni has to pray, you know, Choni's all alone and finally prays to God, okay, you can take me home now. I have nobody left over here. And it's a very sad end of the story. But what I'm saying is that there was so much, you know, in that texture of the Choni story about Moshe, one wonders what you do with it. So therefore, I gave you two endings, and therefore you get to choose which ending you want to utilize. You want to say that Moshe was just too great, and maybe that's the interpretation. I can't go in because of you, the words that you said. The moment that you said that you don't want to hear God speak, but that's what's going to push Moshe to a higher level, because that's what's going to cause Moshe ultimately to go away for 40 days and 40 nights. That's what's going to cause God to speak only to Moshe, not to the rest of them. And everything's going to follow from those words. And therefore, the words in Perek Dalet are the same words in Perek Hey. And I think that that's one, again, I just resolved that that's the rabbi trick. You know, you take one, you take a whole bunch of questions, and then you answer everything, you know, together. So that's one way. And then everything then makes sense. And then also, as I said, there's this other possibility, the take the Choni story and go all the way to the end and then say, listen, Moshe can't go in because he could have ended up like Choni. Everybody said, who's the old guy over here in the sandals? You know, sort of like when, you know, the whole story when Moshe wanders through Rabbi Akiva's base manager and gets depressed, and that's when nobody sees him. What happens? He goes in, they start talking to him. You know, what do you know? Who are you? Old timer. You don't even have an up-to-date iPhone. Who are you? Meaning, what do you know about the world? What do you know about life? What can you possibly understand about the way that the world actually works? So I'm saying that exactly could be the problem. As I said, at least one way of reading it.
Of
refuge.
Of refuge. Did you come to a conclusion or not with that? You gave us a lot of answers.
Well, if you need one definitive conclusion, that part of teaching halacha is actually to do halacha. And you start something even though you can't finish it. And you do something for the future even though it may not have value in the present, which is what actually took us towards the Choni story. I want to tell you something. It's a great point. I want to tell you something fascinating. I saw in an article about the hospital in Jerusalem, psychiatric ward in Jerusalem. I think it's called Herzog, the Herzog Hospital. There's a thing which is called Jerusalem Syndrome. So there's a fascinating division between Jews and non-Jews. That the non-Jews who end up with Jerusalem Syndrome come here and they think they're God. They lock them up, right? They give them the antipsychotic medication, and they think they're God. And the Jews who come here and have the same psychosis, they think that they're Mashiach, which means even a crazy Jew can't think that he's God. There's something fascinating about that, which is the limit. Meaning this thing that you mentioned about the deification, you know, there's always this risk of maybe making Moshe into a God. It's fascinating that even when we're crazy, we don't go that far, that we have our limitations. Okay, so I'm Mashiach. It's okay. I could be Mashiach. But even when I'm crazy, I know I can't be God. So again, when I read that, I thought that was absolutely fascinating.